You are in the game with Raise Your Bar Now. And I'm your host, Eric Woods, here to give student athletes and athletic leaders the tools you need to be great on purpose. So get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and uplifted. Let's go. Welcome, 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 welcome to episode number four already. Wow, we are moving right along. I'm your host, Eric Woods, here on Raise Your Bar Now on WWDB 860 AM. And I thank you all for joining us. And if you are new to the show, thank you for joining us as well. We're going to get right into it. Our first segment here on Raise Your Bar Now, Elevate in 11. Today's topic in Elevate in 11 is mental toughness. We have some great guests on today who will be able to take this topic a little bit further, but I just want to start us off talking about, you know, why mental toughness is important, how I feel that we develop mental toughness, and how that mental toughness can really be contagious in the right setting or the right athletic settings as you become a student athlete who aspires to be at the elite level, and why that mental toughness is very important. So to start us off, being able to be a mentally tough athlete is very important because athletics and sports in general is a game of, it's a game of mistakes, it's a game of defeat, it's a game of failure. And being able to be mentally tough enough to block out all the failure, all the mistakes, all the defeat is very important. And then you add into it, athletics are a game played while we are tired, a game played while we're under fatigue. So it doesn't really matter what sport we're playing. There is always some level of fatigue when we talk about playing sports and excelling in sports. It's going to be under some type of fatigue. So as we get into this, I'm going to welcome to the show my good friend Keith Cochran, who has been gracious enough to co-host me in this first segment of Elevate in 11 during the Raise Your Bar Now show. Keith, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, E?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, man, I appreciate you having me on. What a great time. What a great subject.
Oh, man.
Very needed at this point in time.
Exactly. Mental wellness, mental health, and just mental toughness in general is I believe what's going to get our athletes over the hump, because their adversity, defeat, failure, mistakes is all coming their way, right? And being able to have the mindset that says, no matter what happens in this game, no matter what happened on the last play, I'm focused on the next play and I'm going to be mentally tough enough to push through. As a coach, over the years, what has been your message to your athletes around developing that mental toughness, having that mental toughness, and being an athlete who makes that kind of their foundation?
Well, you know, I think mental toughness is very important. It's also important for student athletes to understand that they can fail and they will not win every game. They will not win every play. And to just get up and give it your all and do your best the next time up. And I think that's important to let kids know that, you know, you don't have to be perfect. You're going to fail. And I think that it's helpful in, you know, the mental capacity.
Yes, sir. That's big. And what kind of things have you done or talked to your student athletes about early on in the season or early on in their careers as freshmen and sophomores What have you done within your program to kind of develop that mindset?
Well, I think it's important to not put everything on the sport itself. Don't put everything on athletics. Make it fun. Make it about relationships. Remind them that they're there to get an education, and that's what's important. And I think that once they understand that it's not all about sports, it's not all about wins and losses, they kind of get relaxed and understand that, you know, the coach can make mistakes too. And I think it's important for a coach to say, you know, I made a mistake, I made the wrong read, that wasn't my best game. Because the kid is not going to have his best game all the time too. And once they see the coach is human, that they're normal and they're willing to admit when they weren't at the best of their game, I think it kind of takes pressure off the kids.
Nice. Now, looking at this, being able to develop mental toughness, I firmly believe that it's possible to develop mental mm-hmm. toughness in a young person, in a young student athlete. And me personally, I feel like that mental toughness is developed through the work.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, the work on their body, right?
Right. Yep.
And the work on their body develops mental toughness in this way. It puts you through a level of pain where in your mind, you're going to have to go somewhere to get yourself through that next set or that next rep or the next day when you're tired and you don't want to go work out. You push yourself anyway and show up in the gym. So being able to put yourself through whatever type of physical conditioning, strength and conditioning program that there is on a consistent basis develops a mindset that says, I'm gonna push through this adversity because I had adversity in this weight room and there was nobody else that was gonna help me through that set or through that rep besides me and my mentality. There was nobody else on that track or on that hill when I was running that's gonna help me get ready for this game mentally like those times during that conditioning.
I think it's a great correlation. And I believe in the same thing, that if you put, you know, kids through a certain task, that where it gets harder over time, is where, you know, they started lifting 30 pounds and now they lifting 50 and they're trying to get to 55, or, you know, they're trying to make 10 straight free throws before and after practice. I think all of those mental challenges that you spoke about helps with the mental toughness of when you have adversity of, you know, you can go the whole game, miss the last shot, miss every shot, and make the last one. You can go through the whole game, miss every tackle, and make the game-saving tackle. So, you know, if you kind of get yourself to understand that, like, I'm not going to be perfect, I'm not going to make, you know, every situation right, but I'm trying to get better every time out or every time I work out, every time I make a run, I'm trying to close that time down a little bit. I think that will help create mental toughness.
Absolutely. Now, as a student athlete, right,
mm-hmm.
being able to fight through, let's talk about fighting through adversity. Because the adversity is coming our way. We won't always win like we talked about. We won't always win. We're going to miss more shots than we make. We're going to make more mistakes than great plays. Well, we hope we don't, right? But mm-hmm. but just the brutal honesty of it is, you know, that adversity is coming our way. You know, what does that look like what do the traits of a mentally tough student athlete look like in those moments?
Well, I think that's somebody that isn't afraid of the moment. And so to speak, I'll use a correlation to to basketball, so to speak. The last shot comes in the game, right? There is some people that's on your team that wants no part of that last shot. And there are some people that might be on the bench that might not be as talented, but might be a little tougher mentally,
right?
That's relishing for that shot and that opportunity. So, you know, as a coach, there have been situations that where in the quarter, I would change and get certain kids in because this kid is going to get the shot off. Mm-hmm. All I need is for us to get it off. You know, it might go in, it might not. But I might have some kids that might be a little bit more talented that in that situation might not want the ball at all. And so, you know, mental toughness can come in different forms, and you try to learn about each student individual, and hopefully you can put them in that situation for them and your team to be successful.
Nice. Man, I feel the same way, right? There's sometimes we as coaches are able to identify those student athletes with that mental toughness. And being able to identify those students is one thing. Now, being able to use those particular student athletes to bring the mental toughness of our group as a whole up is a real challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
And over the years, as I've coached teams, as I talk to student athletes, I've always tried to challenge the kids who I saw as mentally tough to be the ones who could kind of talk for me almost in those times mm-hmm. of adversity, right? Because being able to use those student athletes and not hold them accountable, but give them the power or empower them to use their mental toughness to bring our team with them has been something that I look forward to a lot. And
mm-hmm.
because I really feel like giving kids that platform as young people helps them as they get older, right? And then
right. They're
able to continue to use that mental toughness and use their voice to lead other people. How do you feel about that?
I think that's so true. And, you know, and I was thinking about this, you know, during the conversation is, it's really hard to make a leader.
Uh-huh.
It's really hard to put, you know, mental toughness in someone. So a lot of it comes from some of their experiences of what they've seen, or if they've seen a great leader. If they haven't seen a great leader or somebody that has that mental toughness, it's either in them or it isn't. And, you know, sometimes you can have a leader that's older and these younger kids grow into that to help bridge that gap. But it's very hard for a coach or a leader or a teacher to say, I'm going to make this person into that. You know,
right. He's
going to be the leader. You might want to, and he might look like he has the characteristics, and he might be one of the kids that does everything the right way, on time, never missing a workout, never missing an assignment, but they can only do that for themselves.
Right.
And, you know, that can be, you know, tough to find, but there's ways that you can put them in position mm-hmm. to be leaders, but necessarily taking over the whole program or can be tough at that time. Now, can they grow into that later, or once they get older, they say, you know what, Coach put me in this situation, and you know, I can do it now. That definitely can happen, you know, through experience.
Nice. Yeah, Coach, I feel the same way. All right. Guess what we have, Coach? We have a Just Ask Coach question that just came in.
Nice.
we have a Just Ask Coach. So for those of you that are new to Raise Your Bar Now, one of our segments early in the show is Just Ask Coach, where Coach Cochran will answer a listener's questions in real time. So, Coach, we have our first Just Ask Coach question of the day. So this question is from an Instagram follower, and they want to know, as a coach, when you have a player who's struggling mentally, what have you done to get them out of that funk and get them back on the right track?
Well, I want to say thank you to that Instagram follower. We got to shout them out too, E, to make sure they're heard. But that's a very good question. And I think as a coach, to get a kid out of a mental funk is you have to encourage them. You have to talk to them. You got to try to put them in situations that where they could be successful, possibly in a situation where they failed before. Kind of talk them up and let them know that you're still a part of this team. You're still a big part of what we do, that we need you, and we're not going to give up on you. And I think over time that helps kids gain their confidence back and become a major factor of what you're trying to do as a team.
Oh, great. Great answer, Coach. We appreciate you. And that question came from an Eric Dalloway. Eric Dalloway asked that great question today. Thank you for thanks for your follow, Eric. We appreciate you. Please share the Instagram page with your followers as well. Coach, that was great today. We appreciate you stopping in.
Appreciate you, man. Anytime, you know, I want people to keep sending those questions in for Just Ask Coach, and I'll do my best to give you my best advice.
Definitely, man. We appreciate you, brother. I'll see you next week.
All righty. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That was Elevate in 11 and Just Ask Coach. We are heading into a break, but before we go to break, I want to let you know that on the other side, we have two great guests joining us today. Our first guest, Siani Brown Carr, a Philadelphia resident and Marquette University track star, and Colleen Finnegan. For those of you history buffs in the Big Five, Colleen was a standout at UPenn, 1,000-point scorer, and we are excited to speak with them both, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Raise Your Bar Now on WDB 860 AM. Are you a student-athlete looking for the edge? If so, the Raise Your Bar Student-Athlete Summer Institute has just what you need. During this intensive 3-day immersion, student-athletes will take away knowledge in student-athlete development, next-level transitioning, and social media training. For registration and details, reach out to Eric Woods at ericwoods3@gmail.com. Get in the game.
Raise Your Bar Now with Eric Woods and guests from around the world of athletics. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. as they inspire, motivate, and uplift you to greatness. Get in the game every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on WWDB 97.5 HD2 and anytime on any smart device at WWDBAM.com.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Randall Law, founder, designer, creator, director of Cool Color Kid Generation, which is an apparel brand changing the narrative to empower all people of color through apparel. Check us out on our website, www.coolkkidgeneration.com. Once again, that's www.coolkkidgeneration.com. Let's change the world. We must be visible.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are in the game with Raise Your Bar Now on WDB 860 AM. I'm your host, Eric Woods, and we are on the other side. We are at the Athletes Ascension portion of our show, where we will talk to standout student athletes who will give their story, their insight, and their motivation to those who are following their footsteps and to their peers as well. Today, joining us, we have a treat from outside of the Philadelphia area, not by residency, but by where she goes to school. We have Siani Brown Carr with us, a standout student athlete, track star from the University of Marquette, or Marquette University, I should say. Siani is a member of the 4x1 team at Marquette, She also runs the 55, the 60, and the 200 meter. This past year, she had PRs in the 200 and a PR in the 55. Welcome, Siani. Welcome, Siani.
Hi, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, I appreciate you being here. And I left out that Siani is or was a Big East Academic All-American. And that by far is much, much more greater than any track accomplishments. Siani, would you say?
No, I was just agreeing with you. So we have the Academic All-American, which are those like standout student athletes that mostly you see it a lot in like basketball or sports like that, where it's like they get a certain amount of minutes, but they're able to obtain their academic weight.
Right.
So for me, I was on the All-Academic team. So it's two different things, but it's still an amazing accomplishment. Hopefully one day I can be an Academic All-American.
Right.
That's like an award that's given to like a certain amount of student athletes a year, like throughout the whole entire country. And just to add to what you were saying, so I finished off the year in May. We were at the University of Connecticut, and I wound up having a PR in the 100 too. So finished off as a good year. And for the 4x1, they probably didn't update the website or stuff yet, but we got the ninth time in school history, our first time all running that sequence together, and we medaled at Big East too, and I was able to PR. So finished off on a good note. Yeah, so pretty good season.
Sorry, congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
That is awesome. So I have to ask this first question. Being a Philly native, and a graduate of Newman Garrett, right?
Yep.
Dad went to LaSalle.
Yep.
And played basketball. And he is an assistant at LaSalle University, right? And I must say that he might be the person who I don't want to say I was afraid of him, right? But he was like the most fiercest competitor that I played with during my time. Fiercest.
So you know my father. Wow. Amazing.
Do I know him? He was in my nightmares a couple of times.
Oh.
he was in my nightmare a couple of times, and I'm definitely going to call him when I get off.
Yes, for sure. I can see if he would be willing to do an episode or call into the show.
Oh, he has to now since you came on. Maybe next week I can have him on and I can talk to him about all the nightmares he gave me. Wow. So I got to ask the question, how did you get away and go play for the other blue and gold school and not your dad's blue and gold school?
That was definitely a hard decision to make. So I also was the class of 2020, so I grew up in that COVID year. So around that time, no one really knew, in a sense, how to navigate or go about school. So, of course, that affected my college process and my recruitment process, because this was just so new to everyone, and no one knew how to navigate it. But the advice that I got from my grandfather, who's a really big influence in my life, he really wanted me to get out of Philadelphia just to see what else the world has to offer. Mm-hmm. In the way that Philadelphia will always be here, but going to a place like Marquette, it's like the culture is different. It's in the Midwest. Like, it's a completely different scenery. And you get the chance to just meet and network with so many different people that have different cultures and upbringings. So that was one of the main influences. Picking to go to Marquette. And it was actually pretty funny because I had ruled Marquette out of my college decision. I was really banking on going to either George Washington or the University of Virginia. I was on the wait list for them. They had took me off. But the more and more I looked into it, I ruled Marquette off of my list. They must have called me the next day and just offered me like full tuition based off of me just sharing my own personal experience and my story. Of course, it had a lot to do with my grades and my academics, but they were able to read my college essay, and they just offered me full tuition, and that wasn't even including, like, financial aid and the other portion of things. So definitely was a blessing to say, okay, I'm not going to go to Marquette because it's far and it's cold, and to have them call the next day and just give me that blessing was amazing.
Nice. So And I also see that DK had a little bit to do with you going there, too.
Yeah, so at the time, shout out to Duane Killings. He was also a major influence in my choice because being in the Philadelphia area, my father and at the time, Coach Ashley Howard,
right.
They were, Duane was working there, and they're pretty good friends of Duane. So he just made me feel so much more comfortable because after Marquette offered me that full tuition, I flew down to just at least see the campus, and he was the person that walked me around and just gave me the tour and let me speak to some people that he thought I should speak to, especially with it being a PWI, to make me feel comfortable. At the time, because of COVID, the buildings were actually closed, so we weren't able to go into any buildings,
right.
But we were still able to walk around. And with him, like, working at Temple previously, and living in that Philadelphia area, he was able to point out certain parts to me and say, like, okay, like, this is like Broad Street, or this is like this, and it made me feel more like home.
Right. Shout out to DK, Duane Killings, now head coach at UAlbany.
Yes.
Shout out DK. Great dude. All right, talk to us about how you balance academics with athletics. I know that can be pretty challenging.
Yes, and I'm a person that I try to be the most transparent. Like, as we talk more, I'll tell you more about what I'm doing outside of athletics. But I'm just a really strong advocate for mental health and for student athletes and people in general just to take care of their mental health, especially with everything we have going on in the world today. So I would say my freshman year, trying to make that transition into, you know, the difference between high school athletics and college athletics was its own challenge. But then being in the middle of a pandemic made it harder because all of our classes were online. We weren't allowed to have any visitors. The only time I left my dorm was for practice. So I would say that first year wasn't like a real glimpse of what, you know, the true balance of academics and athletics can be. Now the second year kind of was like a shock to me because it's like full on student athlete. And to be completely transparent, it's something that I had to go through and try to learn how to balance. Marquette is a good school in the sense that they have a lot of resources for their student athletes to be able to navigate those changes and those processes. We have a sports psychologist and we have some other good resources at Marquette. But trying to balance can be tough if you don't understand the importance of placing academics first. And it's like, if you don't use your resources as a benefit, it also can be tough because, you know, you're in college and you have some professors that are understanding, then you have some professors that are not understanding that, you know, you can't make class because you're traveling or you can't make class because you have competition. And some will tend to give you a hard time. Some will be understanding. But it's truly like not being afraid to ask for help, which is something that I wasn't afraid to. I went to go see the sports psychologist. I also have an athletic advisor, Maureen Lewis. She is one of the best people that I know. And she basically just helps us navigate everything. And I also had an academic coach. I used all my resources. I was not afraid to use my resources to try to balance all those demands at the same time. It can be really, really challenging.
Wow, you dropped some real gems for student athletes who are following your footsteps because, you know, the biggest thing I heard you say there is asking for help and being able to know when to ask for help and use it as a resource. And that's really big.
And it's like through time, those resources and those amazing people at your school that you work with, they grow to learn you.
Right.
So Maureen is someone that's known me for 2 years, and she knows that when I take on too much, I can get burnt out. Or, you know, I'm not afraid to speak out about the fact that I deal with anxiety, depression, and performance anxiety. So Maureen knows all these things about me. She's able to help me and give me those resources that I need, come up plans where we can speak to professors about any obstacles that make it come up. So that's why it's important to get help because they care about you.
Nice.
They want to learn you so that way they know the best way to assist you.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. All right, let's go on the track. What does a day of training look like for you and how is it different from high school?
Okay, yeah. So it's definitely completely different from high school. And I'm sure any high school athletes that may be listening know that you have that 8-hour day of school, and then right after school, you might have study hall. You go right into practice. So most times you're not getting home till like 6:37. That's usually around the time that I got home. But when you get to college, also depending on the sport, your schedules can be different. So I know like basketball players, we don't have the same schedules. Soccer players, we don't have the same schedules. But for us, there's two different kinds of schedules depending on what time of the year we're in. So our fall schedule is different than our spring schedule. So our fall schedule tends to be a little bit more relaxed. We're working out maybe 3 or 4 times a week. We're lifting early in the morning, like 7 o'clock. We have lifts for about an hour. And then we usually have practice in the afternoon. Fridays are for hills. So that fall schedule is more for intensive training. It's more about like that endurance and that conditioning. So fall semester always tends to be a little bit easier than that spring semester. Now when you go into spring semester, you're working out every day. You have lifts twice a week. You have to find time to get your own treatment. Like you in college, especially as a college athlete, you have to know how to take care of yourself because there's so many demands and you need to also know how to take care of your body. So you have to find time to go see the trainer. You have to find time to just do those things, go take ice baths. So for me, it's like, you know, you wake up, you might have lifts, you have class, you have a little bit of time to eat, you might have another class, and you have practice, and you might go see the trainer. So days can be really hectic. That's why it's important to, like, find a schedule that works good for you, too.
Nice. So big on routine and big on placing priority in the right areas, right?
Yes, agreed. And you're talking to a person that, like, does not necessarily even like routine, but just with being a college athlete, you have to learn how to adapt to that routine because you'll fight with it, you know? It's like you're a busy person. You might not like that routine, but it's like you have to learn how to adapt to it.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. All right, so let's get into the leader that Siani is. In what ways do you lead your teammates toward success as a team?
Yeah, great question. So it's just being at Marquette has just taught me so many things. And, like, I was just thinking this summer, like, this role that I've taken on versus, like, my freshman year, being, like, I was talking to my coach. We had, like, an exit meeting for the year, which you do with your coach after the season. And he was just like, wow, like, I'm just looking at you guys and you're taking on these leadership roles. And I just remember when you guys were, like, the small little freshmen coming in. So I think about that often, how much I've grown in sense of leadership since I've been, like, a freshman at Marquette. So going into my junior year, I'm a part of a lot of organizations at Marquette and groups and clubs. So we have the SAC, you know, every university has the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. So I'm a rep for my team. I'm also part of something called SHAPE, which is focused on the mental health and peer support of student athletes. It's something that my academic advisor started, Maureen Lewis. So I'm a part of those two things. I also when I spoke to my coach this summer, me and one of my teammates were just expressing to him how we want to really make things more team-oriented going into our junior year. So I told him I can be like his go-to person if he needs to get something outreach, if he needs events. We need people to show up. Track is like you can run not into team problems, but it's like, you know, in social psychology, I learned that, like, when you get into groups closer to 100 people, it can be hard for those people to try to maintain closeness or to find, like, true connections, depending on, like, event groups or depending on, like, how much people are talking to each other. Track can be an individual sport. So I told him I want to step into that leader role and be that person that can just get everyone to show up to a team gathering and just express the importance of, just the importance of having a team, having people to support you, especially in the climate we're in where we're just losing so many student athletes to suicide. I want all of my teammates to know that we're there for them, that they can come to us, they can talk to us. And I'm also doing a research project this summer, but we'll talk about that afterwards. The professor I'm doing it with, she holds workshops just for student athletes to be able to express their emotions and their feelings about the things that are happening in the world. So I also told her that going into junior year, I can gather more student athletes for us to come attend those workshops. I just want to express a huge placement on mental health and the importance of people knowing that they're not alone.
Nice. That's all great leadership by you and all much needed things. So you're touching on the mental health piece. And yes. Personally, how have you developed mental toughness and why do you feel it's important for athletes to have?
Mental toughness is one of the things that you need as an individual in general, but also for your sport. And I would say, in my personal opinion, track and field is probably the most mental sport out there because it's all in your mind. It's all about, you know, of course you can look at time, but it's just all about, like, individualized and it's things like that. So mental toughness is also something that I can be transparent about. I feel like I'm still trying to find my way to that ultimate mental toughness, but my mental toughness has grown knowing the kind of person that I am and knowing what I'm capable of. It's very important to find a way to believe in yourself and your abilities. And I experienced that on my own going into May, our championship season, and knowing we had the 4x1 relay, and everyone's dying to be on the 4x1 relay. But I had to tell my coach, like, look, like, I deserve to be on this relay. He trusted me. He put me on it. And we dropped 2 seconds, and we got top 9 in school history. So, like, it's having that mental toughness to not only believe in yourself, but the other side of mental toughness is knowing when you're not okay. It's knowing in your head when it's okay to ask for help, and knowing when it might be okay to take a break. It's two sides of it. It's not always trying to be strong all the time. Sometimes it can be very hard to just try to be strong and just keep pushing through. And I'm an individual that does that a lot. And it definitely affected me this school year. I can be transparent that I kind of reached like this burnout because I was just constantly just trying to be strong all the time. And eventually you reach that breaking point where you're like, okay, like, I can't always be strong. Like, it's okay to show emotion sometimes. It's okay to just need a break. So that's what I would say about mental toughness.
Wow. You keep dropping some gems here. You keep dropping some great knowledge. And I really hope this segment, and I'm going to try to push this segment so far, you know, to share it with so many student athletes, because
so will I.
Because you are really giving student athletes kind of a blueprint to go about this thing. So real quick, couple more questions.
Yeah.
The phrase "raise your bar." That's that's the title of the show. It's a program that I kind of developed because I want student athletes and athletes in general to, you know, really feel like they can get better. They always can do more. There's always another level. What does the phrase "raise your bar" mean to you?
Well, first, let me start off by saying that, like, I love what you're doing. It's truly amazing. And we just need more people like you to do things like that. And I just love using that phrase, "more than the athlete," that LeBron created, because all of us are just so much more than our sport. We are so much more than what number we run or our times or how many points we can drop. So to me, raising your bar means just finding, like, your true self, finding who you are outside of your sport. Like, our sport should not define us. Mm. So it's finding your characteristics, your qualities. I took a sports and society class last semester, and it was all about how when people are done playing sports, they reach Emil Durkheim called it anonymy, where you lose like a personal sense of identity. So that's right. Why it's important to, in a sense, raise your bar to know who you are, reach your goals, reach your expectations in your sport, but also outside of your sport. So for me personally, raise your bar means everything that I found is what I'm best at, which is just advocating and getting words out. And this summer, I actually worked in 2 internships. One of my internships, I created a research project through my school, and it's all focused on youth athlete student health, mental wellness. And Colleen, who is amazing, she also is assisting me on the project. So we're just trying to gather a certain amount of youth athletes. If anyone is interested, please feel free to reach out. We just started on Tuesday, so it'll be this week and next week, and we have a panel discussion, and it's all about, the title of the project is called "You Matter: The Identity, Well-being, and Self-Compassion of Youth Athletes," and it's all about expressing the importance of taking care of yourself outside of your sport. And we're finding that while we're doing this research, there has been no one, there's no blueprint for it, like you say, blueprint. No one has conducted a study like this before. So we figured that it's important to teach the kids young why it's important to take care of their mental health, considering the fact that no one has done it before. So that, I feel like I'm raising my bar that way. I'm trying to give back to the youth and also just teach them young, teach them the stuff that I wish I would have knew when I was their age, desiring to be a Division I athlete. So,
yes, that's exactly why I, you know, started this and felt this heavy on my heart, because, you know, there's so many areas of my athletic background and my athletic career where I felt like if I only had that knowledge or this knowledge or done this differently or done that differently, you know, I could have been more, right? And
exactly
that like the pain from that regret, so to speak, kind of drives this passion to, you know, help you and other student athletes that come after me, you know, realize that, hey, there is more that you can be. And
exactly.
If you only just hit the gas pedal a little bit more in a couple different areas, you could find more and be greater than you even have imagined, you know?
I just want to say that I appreciate you. I can probably speak on all the student athletes that we appreciate you for giving back. And I like how you're using it in a positive sense. And also in that same class, I learned that along with that personal identity, some commit suicide, some don't know what to do with themselves. But I like how you're giving back in a positive sense. You're looking at what you wish you could have did differently, but there's no bitterness behind it. You want to make sure that that's instilled in us, and we understand the importance of that. So I can probably speak for everyone. We really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you kind of hit on my last question I have for you. With all your endeavors and, you know, things that you're interested in, you kind of hit on a lot of them that you are taking on there. I'm at school, but I kind of want to dig into, have you had any NIL opportunities? And if so, would you like to mention them here?
Yeah, so Marquette gave us some, they're not allowed to give us direct deals, but right. they have partnerships with places like Open Doors and Flickr, where it's like you can look for your own deals. They're okay. Not allowed to recommend what deals are best for us. So.
Right.
I personally haven't had any deals like fall through or any like extreme interest. It's something that I'll probably have to take up on my own, but I am completely interested in definitely taking on sponsorship deals, but also to be transparent to those student athletes out there. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this being an NCAA athlete, but I think I don't want to say it's rigged, but
right.
You know, we're looking at those. Track is not usually a sport unless it's a big five that they make huge revenue off of. Like,
right.
Again, in that same class,
right. This
is, you can probably tell this is my favorite class. That's Sports and Society class.
Right.
We looked at graphs and data and charts, and, you know, there's just so much money that's made off of those big five schools, predominantly in that basketball and football sense. So I feel like those NLI deals, there's kids that are making like $400,000, it's targeted more towards them. Not to say that.
Yeah.
People like me that are track athletes cannot get any sponsorships. I would love to.
Yep.
It's just, it's targeted towards more of those kids that, you know, they have those big names in that football and that basketball set.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, so once this is shared, I'm sure there's going to be somebody who's going to be like, I need to have Siani as a spokesperson because she's awesome. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So thank you for your time. I really appreciate you joining Raise Your Bar Now. You're just amazing. Your story is amazing. And I just want to encourage you to keep pushing forward. You can be great.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you for having me.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much to Siani Brown Carr joining us here on Raise Your Bar Now. What an amazing young lady. And I appreciate her for joining. All right, we're going to get right into our next segment today with Leadership Lessons. We have an awesome guest here who's going to take us to the end of the show here. We have Colleen Finnegan. Colleen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Colleen, I was just talking with Siani Brown Carr on the other side, and she is really passionate about some of the same things that you're passionate about. And I look forward to hearing exactly what your stance is on mental health and mental toughness as it relates to, you know, how you help student athletes. So talk to us about your journey that has taken you from being a standout student athlete at UPenn to now working with student athletes on their mental approach to the game.
Well, first, I was listening in to what Siani was talking about, and she is incredible. I have to keep reminding myself that she's only 20 years old and in college because she is such an advocate. And really, when she was talking about the resources that she used, was mm-hmm. so inspiring. It
yep.
reminded me of my journey. So, you know, typical multi-sport athlete like we all were back then. And just things kind came kind of easily to me. I worked hard, but it wasn't like work to me. It was more like fun. And then I got to Penn, and I was not prepared. I was way in over my head academically, socially, even athletically. I wasn't really prepared to meet the challenges that were placed on me. And she had mentioned all the resources that are available to her. And she's probably one of very few that actually uses them all. But I don't even know what resources were on campus at that time. I'm sure they were there, but no one told me about them. No one encouraged me to use them.
Right.
And I really struggled. It wasn't the right place for me, and I didn't know what to do. And in hindsight, I definitely had the anxiety and moments of depression where, you know, it's inevitable, but I didn't have the support and I didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I struggled through it, and a lot of people quit. It was just a tough situation. You know, we're not on scholarship, so mm-hmm. nobody would, you know, they're still in an Ivy League school, so no loss to them. But I pushed through it, and I certainly learned a lot. I think had I had the tools, I could have done much better. And I think that's why I'm getting into what I'm doing now. I've been coaching middle school and high school girls for the last 10 years or so. I have children of my own that I've coached. I coach other young athletes, and they just learn differently.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more going on in the world, and they especially need the tools. And I didn't have those, and I want to be able to teach the young athletes all these tools to become mentally well and to use the resources and how to get through the inevitable struggles.
Nice.
So that's kind of why I made the transition to what I'm doing now.
Right.
I want to teach, kind of like what you're doing, I want to teach kids the things that I wish I had that could have made me a better athlete and just a happier person in general.
Wow. That is definitely a shared purpose, definitely. You're listening to Raise Your Bar now, and we have Positive Coaching and Leadership Group CEO Colleen Finnegan with us. Colleen, tell us about Positive Coaching and Leadership Group, and how are you impacting the lives of student-athletes?
Well, I started the nonprofit at the end of 2021 with the hopes that I could work with young athletes, coaches, and parents on teaching mental skills such as visualization, positive self-talk, goal setting, self-compassion. Again, with the stress in today's world and the pressure of specializing and excelling at everything they do, studies have shown that the teaching of mental skills actually improves performance, but as a bonus, it also improves their well-being. You hear of all the stress, like Siani was talking about, that college athletes are going through, professional athletes are coming out talking about their struggles with mental health. So I started the nonprofit, PCLG, just to try and get to them early. Like, why are we waiting until college to address these things? If we can get to the middle school and high school kids and teach them some of the tools that we weren't taught, that maybe they can get through the struggles a little bit easier. And it's not just sport related. It could be applied to your academics, your relationships, just improving your overall mental well-being before it gets to the point that it becomes a mental health issue.
Right. That's big. Being able to get them early is a great you know, thing to do, because, you know, it's like anything. The earlier you start exposing a kid to whatever it is, the more likely they are to become better at it, you know, down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're tools that are essential to excel in any area of your life. And if you're more well-adjusted and just happier, you will perform better in whatever you do.
So mental wellness, what does this look like in an athlete? So Can you identify that when you see it?
I think I can. To me, if an athlete has a good amount of mental wellness, I think they're just better able to focus and meet the challenges that come their way. If they make a mistake, they're better able to rebound. They don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
They have fun. Burnout is a huge thing, especially these days when kids are starting so much earlier and specializing so much earlier. It kind of takes the fun out of it. So the athletes that are having fun, feeling balanced, they have a good sense of how much time they should spend on their sport, on their academics, on their social life. And Siani was talking a lot about the identity. I think that's why I struggled in college too. Like I was basketball. I had always played basketball and that was my thing. And I felt that that was my identity. And it certainly wasn't. There's more to an athlete other than their craft. So if they have a good balance, know their identity, and plus the way they play, too. Like, you can tell a kid that feels relaxed out there. They're not stressed or anxious
right.
when they perform. They just play at ease, and they don't beat themselves up when they make a mistake.
Wow. That's great insight. That's great insight. And all the things you hit on, you're exactly right. Coaching over the years, it's always been the strongest kids who can, you know, rebound and don't worry about making a mistake, because I always tell them, you know, sports or basketball or baseball or football, it's like it's a game of mistakes, and it's about who can rebound from those mistakes easier, the fastest, who most times will win games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, nobody's perfect.
Right.
One of the best baseball players ever probably batted 400, which means they missed 6 out of 10 times. Like, you have to be able to forgive yourself if you make a mistake, because nobody has ever shot 100% from the free throw line either.
Exactly. And I always tell kids about Kobe and Michael, right? You know, in our eyes, they are the greatest of our time. And they shot below 50%, way below 50%.
And that's funny you say that, because I feel like they're only through social media and maybe not the 30 for 30 type shows, but they're only seeing everybody's best moments
right.
and highlights.
Right.
Like, social media is everybody's highlight reel. So you're
right.
constantly comparing them to their best moments when they had to get there somehow.
Yep.
The best athletes failed at the beginning. They just had the ability to overcome it.
Yeah. Talk to us about how coaches can be intentional about helping their players have a healthy mental approach to the game, because as much as we want to help student athletes, this segment, Leadership Lessons, is really about helping, you know, coaches and athletic leaders, you know, raise their game. So how can coaches be intentional?
I think what I wish I had in a coach was the empathy. I think coaches, today's kid is different. When I first started coaching, I took on the style of my high school and college coach because I thought it worked for me. Mm-hmm. And I went out and, you know, it was a little bit of screaming, a little bit punitive. And like, I was like, well, I guess that's how you coach.
Right.
So I quickly learned that kids don't respond to that today.
Right.
I learned the hard way.
So
I think that's part of it, is coaches need to be open to learning. They need to be vulnerable. I think kids relate better to coaches when it's not a dictatorship. It's more of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that they are under so much pressure from their parents, from their school, to excel at everything.
Yep.
Everybody learns differently,
mm-hmm.
so kind of approaching, you know, I didn't like getting yelled at. If I got yelled at, I would actually play worse, but yelling might motivate somebody, so knowing how a kid learns is important. I think to get the best out of your players, you have to know them on a personal level.
Yep.
Ask questions, see how their day was. Everybody has a good day and a bad day, and adjusting your coaching style. But being vulnerable, can help you relate to the players. They'll trust you more. And obviously winning is important, but it's not everything. And it's certainly not worth worth exploiting the team or to the detriment of the individual student athlete.
Right. All right. We're getting to the end here. And give us your 30-second answer on what raise your bar means to you.
30 seconds. Wow. Okay. So to me, I think raising your bar is having a high standard for yourself athletically, academically, socially, emotionally, knowing your strengths and capitalizing on them, but also acknowledging your weaknesses and trying to set goals to strengthen them and being compassionate when you do have a tough day. I think self-compassion is a huge piece. But having that growth mindset, being open to learning, and definitely stop sweating the small stuff. It is only a game.
There you go. There you go. That was Colleen Finnegan with us, CEO and president of Positive Coaching and Leadership Group. You can learn more about PCLG at www.positivecoachinggroup.org. That's www.positivecoachinggroup.org. Colleen, thank you for joining us. That was awesome, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
Absolutely. You're doing awesome things. Thanks, Eric.
All right, thank you. All right, that brings us to the end of episode 4. Wow, episode 4. That was Leadership Lessons, again, with Colleen Finnegan of Positive Coaching Leadership Group. I want to say thank you all for joining us. We look forward to you joining us next time on Raise Your Bar Now on WWDB 860 AM. Raise Your Bar.